Hello and welcome to another episode of Don't Shit on the Bus. I'm your host, Adam L. Macias, tuning in all the way from Los Angeles, California, for episode number 83. It's one more than 82, one less than 84. And today's guests are James and Joel. And now James and Joel together have created a new website called Entourage Pro. You can check it out. Links are always in the caption. And what Entourage Pro is a new website where crew members are people that work in the music industry, whether you're a beginner or a professional that's been doing this their whole life, sign up, put all your information on there, your availability, people who vouch for you. It is what this industry needs. They started it a little bit before COVID, really put it into action during COVID, and now coming out of COVID here, hopefully soon, it's up and running. It's still getting tweaked and touched up and fine-tuned, and I'm sure that'll be an ongoing thing as it is with all websites, but it is an amazing site. So I encourage you to go on there, set up an account and check it out for yourself. But during this podcast, we'll talk about their inspiration for this website, the thought they put into it, their mindset on privacy and other things that you might be concerned about. And they also give us a walkthrough of setting up an account and using the website. So if you aren't watching this on video, that is fine. I do my best to narrate the parts. But if you do watch it on video, there is screen capture of them actually showing me how to use the website. So that's very nice. I hope that you guys enjoy this. I really like this episode because I can't wait to send it to my touring professional friends who have been doing this for their whole life. And I believe this will be a resource they'll use now and become very valuable in the future. And hopefully will be the industry standard moving forward. So Joel and James, thank you so much for your hard work, your passion, your devotion to this project, because I know how tiring starting something new up can be. And we all appreciate you. And, you know, if you ever need any help, I'm in the US and I love spreadsheets and I'm ready to go. With that being said, thank you so much to our patrons. You know, I'm recording this a little bit early because I'm heading out of town for the weekend. So I'm going to have to catch up with you new patrons next week because it's too early in the week for me to say thank you to you guys. But thank you to all our patrons who contribute weekly to make this podcast possible. We've been going strong for almost 100 episodes. Or maybe I'm getting ahead of myself. We got 3 or 4 more months till we're at 100 episodes, but damn, we're almost at 2 years. That's cool. So thank you guys so much. And I will have you know my book proposal is almost done for this. I am very excited to start sending that out. If you know anybody, publishers, literary agents, who want to see my book proposal with a naughty word in the title, I'm ready for them. All right, enjoy this week's episode of Don't Shit on the Bus. I'll see you next week. All right, welcome to the podcast, James and Joel. I'm happy to have you guys here.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us, Adam.
Of course. And James, just say, hi, I'm James, so people know your voice. Because if they're not watching, they won't know.
That's true. Hi, I'm James.
And Joel?
I'm Joel. I'm the northern one.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. Your accents are very different, but for somebody that's ignorant, like myself from the US, it all just sounds not American, if that makes sense. No offense intended.
Well, everyone says the same thing. And if you come from London, I think anyone from London knows very much about anything north of Watford, really. I think you can probably corroborate that for me, James.
Yeah, absolutely. Watford is north, pretty much.
Oh, man. All right. Well, I'm really happy to have you guys on here. I came across your guys' website through my friend Sheep. He recommended I check it out. It's called Entourage Pro. And we'll get into the specifics of what that is. But I kind of want to know just a little bit about you two. And I guess we can start with, I mean, whoever wants to go first. I just want to know, like, what's your experience in the music industry and kind of your role? And then we can kind of end on, like, why you started this.
Yeah, well, basically, James and I have known each other for around 15, 20 years, I think. I come from a very production-led background, working in publishing that covered touring and concerts and festivals, etc. Then I jumped over the barrier and ended up working for a rental company, Wigwam Acoustics in the UK. And we did big stadium stuff like Coldplay, One Direction, that kind of thing.
Oh, awesome.
And the reason that Entourage Pro exists We'll go into what it is sort of shortly. But the reason why we're here now doing this is because during that sort of 4 or 5 year period, I used to get asked all the time of, you know, any number of crew members, whether I knew of any tours coming up, would I be able to take their resume to sort of put on file? And if there was anything that I heard about, could I put their name in the hat? So this sort of got me thinking, this was happening on a daily basis. It sort of got me thinking about the fact that there was no real sort of centralized way of searching for potential crew or looking for work for potential crew and all the rest of it, or potential work for crew. So I decided to sort of start pooling this resource, ended up building a pretty enormous database of crew members from both audio and lighting and video. And I just thought, ultimately, we need to put this into some sort of format, some sort of platform. James and I had often spoken about what we were up to. We were always sort of keeping each other in touch with sort of projects and progress and all the rest of it. And James runs the Showcase Music Directory, which for goodness how many years has been the industry Bible full of contacts. And I sort of every year quite cheekily used to ring him up and ask him for a free copy, because it used to cost about 100 quid, which no one wants to spend on a directory. So I used to ring him up every year and say, can I have my copy now, James? And we'd sort of have an hour on the phone, sort of, you know, chewing the fat. And he said, what am I up to? Because I seem to have gone quiet or disappeared for a bit. And I just told him I've got this idea of a database of crew and companies and service providers and, you know, just sort of digitizing what was a very sort of word of mouth and it's never really changed. The industry is only 50 years old and it's never really changed from ringing up a production manager and, you know, finding out whether there are any tours, or ringing up someone that worked as an account manager for an audio rental company and finding out whether there are any tours. So it's just a case of trying to format it and put it into a sort of platform basis. And James sort of told me that he had an awful lot of data that I might be interested in. So I was like, oh, right, well, we need to have a very real discussion about this. I think we met up a couple of times in London. And
did he charge you 100 quid, right?
Well, no, he put it in the post, luckily. If I could turn my video on, you'll see my collection of free Showcase Music Directors behind me on the bookshelf. But we met up and we sort of bounced a few ideas around, and sort of 3 years later, we've developed this very robust, very streamlined platform for the freelance crew community globally. Obviously, we hit the pandemic, we hit COVID, and we were like, goodness me, are we doing the right thing here? Is this the fork in the road where we either go and get another job, or do we continue? And actually, speaking to the people that we spoke to and we did our sort of R&D on and all the rest of it, they were like, no, this is the time to do something robust, perfect, digital, almost bring everything into, you know, one cohesive unit. And that's what we've done. That's what Entourage Pro is, and that's where it's sort of been developed from, really.
Yeah, and so from my side, Adam, he's kind of covered who I am and what I've done, but I've owned and published Showcase Music now for 10 years. Okay. So I took independent from a large media company in London back in 2009, set it all up independently, having worked for it for a couple of years before, just loving the industry. I mean, I've been in directory publishing across multiple industries, TV and film, corporate events, obviously music, where Showcase came in. And yeah, I just found an affinity for the music industry and for the client base that I was speaking to. So yeah, bought it, set it up independently, and I've been running that now for 11 years, I think it is now. And that's where my kind of, you know, relationship with Joel started. And yeah, the conversations over the years have got us to where we are now, which, yeah, I believe in fate, and it all seems to have worked out well. And, you know, we're really proud of what we've produced over the last couple of years. So
yeah, it's wild to me, like 3 years, that's a long time. And COVID, obviously not a positive event, but it sounds like, you know, right time, right place for what you guys are doing, whether it's due to, you know, getting 2 years off to work on your project, or the fact that those 2 years have kind of, you know, deteriorated a lot of the infrastructure that was there, like a lot of people stepped out of the industry.
Absolutely. You know, and you know, the thing is, Adam, you're absolutely right. You know, was it 2 years to really sort of focus on getting Entourage right? And I think it was. I think had we been developing it and sort of swimming against the tide, as it were, we'd have really struggled to get this. With us being a very young and agile company, we were able to sort of redetermine what we were, redefine what we were, and sort of actually, I think we've become a better proposition for people because mm-hmm. of the pandemic. I mean, I'm not saying it was a great thing. James and I have not earned any money in over 2 years now, so that's been really difficult. However, yeah. what we've been able to do is concentrate fully on getting this right. It's a very unique proposition for the industry in that we're almost a data insights company because we're working with, you know, the next generation. We've lost, depending on who you speak to, we've lost up to nearly 40% of freelance mm-hmm. practitioners. That's mm-hmm. a lot of people. If you're a lighting designer or you're a monitor person or, you know, you're someone that designs stages and projects and festivals and all the rest of it, you might have two or three or four production managers in your phone and you might sort of text them at the beginning of it or the end of every year, September time, and say, look, what have you got for next year? And they might proffer two tours for you or two festivals or whatever it might be. And that might be enough. But fundamentally, we might have lost two of those four production managers.
Yeah.
So what we've got to do is try and fast track the industry back on its feet, get the next generation through. And like I say, we'll go into how we aim to do that. But that's the purpose of this, just to reinforce what we thought. The live events industry was a real robust industry, you know, never going to fall over, be here forever, getting better and better and better. And actually, it just turned out to be a house of cards. It collapsed overnight, literally overnight. And it never, and it was gone. And the people that were in it were gone too. So we decided that, you know what, we've got to really think about what Entourage needs to be. And we spoke to literally thousands of people that we knew. We put it to them and we worked out what we were and how we were going to do it. And I think to this point, we've really nailed what it is. And I think, you know, as soon as we begin to grow, we're going to become a very real proposition for the industry, you know.
Sorry, just to jump in there, Joe. I think that, you know, the one thing that's true for everybody in this industry over the last 2 years is it's given everyone a chance to kind of reflect and to sit back and actually have a look at, you know, the way things are done, you know, even for some people, whether it's the right career choice for them, which mm-hmm. is why lots of people haven't returned, because actually they have enjoyed spending time with their husband or their wife or, you know, taking their kids to school and doing all those things that they normally might not get the chance to do living life, you know, on the road. And, you know, that time for reflection has given us, you know, sort of the ability to speak to people very honestly and frankly about whether something like Entourage is right for the industry. And people have given us their time and their kind of wisdom on what they think would work, what wouldn't work, and how we can kind of move forward to, you know, bring something to the industry that's useful, because, you know, we don't want to just do this for our own benefit. This is very much for the benefit of the industry and to be giving something to the industry that's got real value and got longevity. So, you know, it's been obviously a horrendous time the last 2 years. It doesn't matter which part of the world you come from, you know, but we're hoping to, you know, bring some positivity, you know, from what's happened over the last 2 years. And that's kind of where we're at now. It's not been an easy journey, and it's one that we've put our heart and soul into. But we, you know, genuinely think we're doing something really, really positive here.
Well, I think that rings true for most, not most people, but for anybody who's in this industry. You know, it's never about the money or about, you know, doing anything like that. It's just, we're just doing what we love. And I'm glad you guys found a way to kind of take that energy and to put it in something that can be beneficial for, by not just doing something you love, but helping the people that you care about and the people you work with. And before we get into what actually Entourage is and a little bit more about how it works, I wanted to know, you know, talk a little bit about how the industry operated before. It was mostly a word of mouth industry, and that's kind of how you got your gigs. Why do you guys think that the industry was like that? And what do you think was the upside of it? And then moving into creating Entourage Pro, like, how did you maintain those upsides while not making it word of mouth, if that makes sense?
Yeah, it makes absolute sense, Adam. You know, the thing is about our industry, it's only 50 years old. Right. Mm-hmm. From the first Stones proper touring tour in 72, it's 50 years old pretty much this year. And, you know, it's never really changed. I mean, obviously, massive advances in technological sort of prowess and gear and all that, and costing and competition and all those things. But the actual format of putting on a show, moving to an empty space, building a city, putting a load of people in it and give them an experiential happening for them to take home and think about for the next, well, probably the rest of their lives in some cases. But, you know, I think, you know, it's never really changed from that. And I think the real purpose for Entourage was and sort of thinking about how we sort of almost interspersed ourselves into the industry was because of that fact, it's not changed. The people that do it at the top level, they've either left or they're leaving. And now is the critical window where we can say, we need to do this slightly differently. Yes, it's word of mouth. Yes, it has been word of mouth. Yes, we've lost people that would probably furnish you with some, you know, three or four tours over the course of the year. And yes, we need to get the next generation through. So to underpin what was a very fragile reawakening, we feel that how Entourage Pro will end up is not that traditional method. It will be digitized. You know, everybody I know from my age and under lives in their phone at the minute, as you probably do yourself. You know, everything's done in that thing, which is a crazy sort of acknowledgement. But but equally, you know, we've got to use what's available for us. We don't want to cut out the human element at all, but we want to populate the human element to save time, to save money, to quickly access people. We want to do it on a sort of, you know, a proximity-based level where if someone catches COVID and they've got to be off the tour and they can't see anyone, they've got to go into quarantine or whatever it might be. We want to put in what city you're in, you know, what venue you're closest to or what kit you've been familiar with or had training on. And we want to do that in a very quick, easy, definitive way. And these are the challenges for us because, you know, our, like I say, our industry is populated with people that know how it works. They know how to do it. We're not taking anything away from their brilliance, but actually we might need to get them to change the mind a little bit on this and how things are done because of the pandemic. And before you can get someone to change the mind, you need to tell them they need to change the mind. And that's where,
and they have to listen too.
They've got to listen. And, you know, and a lot of people are very, very traditional in their methods. We don't want to take away that tradition. We would just want to augment it. We want to augment it with something digital, something, you know, absolutely instantaneous and proximity based. And it's giving something back as well. You know, that's the whole purpose of it.
So for me, kind of responding to that question, I think that there's a definite downside to the way things have been done. And that's the access that others actually have into the industry. You know, the access pathways have always been quite closed because it could almost be seen as a bit of a gentleman's club, which I think is definitely being moved away from now. I think that you know, we've definitely moved on a lot in the last 10, 15 years. You know, that's what's really, really important to us. Of course, there's always going to be word of mouth. You know, you're always going to want to use that monitor engineer that's been on your last tour that you know does a great job, because why would you take a risk? If he's available, why would you take a risk on somebody else? That's kind of the, you know, that's the nature of the business. But what we want to be able to do is to put other people alongside them. So actually, if you're searching the Entourage Pro site, you know, if you're connected with somebody, there'll be somebody that will be given a priority in terms of the search results when you search for people. But you're also going to have other people that match your criteria alongside them. So you've automatically got other choices if you need them. And that's what's been really, really important to us. And especially when we start talking about the newcomers to the industry and, you know, those who are taking interest and are maybe just starting off in their education or in the early stages of their experience within the industry, to be able to put those people alongside the professionals, the people that have been doing it for 20 plus years, we think is really, really important.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's kind of the upside of maybe trying to move away from that more traditional word of mouth way of doing things, which, you know, it has its pros and has its cons. And we're not trying to change the game. We're just trying to bring something in alongside, you know, the established ways of doing business in this industry and just making it work in a perhaps a bit of a fairer way.
Okay. And I have more questions about the creation of it and the thought that went into it. But I think before we get there, it's probably in our best interest and maybe my fault for not doing it early to explain what Entourage Pro does on a very zoomed out level. Like, I do want to get more granular as we move forward, but just so people are like, well, what is this thing they're talking about? Tell me about it. So, like, just basic overview, what is it?
That's me rushing ahead again. I'm truly sorry. I always seem to do that.
What did you say?
It's just me rushing ahead, I think, thinking that everyone
knows. Oh, no, dude, that's why we're a team. That's why I'm here. I got to reel it in, you know, and then you just go, and then we just launch, and that's fine. It's fun.
You're the producer, man. Do you want to take that one, James?
Yeah, absolutely. So Entourage Pro, in its most simple explanation, is an online network of freelance production crew. Although I don't like to sort of pull alongside websites like LinkedIn, perhaps, you know, what we're doing is a very industry specific version of something like that, where you can come on and you can connect, you can communicate, and you can search for particular skill sets and people within the industry. I suppose the biggest difference that has been very, very important to us when we're building this is also the availability of crew, because you want to know who's available. You know, like today we've been working with two bands trying to find some monitor engineers, and you know, we don't just want a big long list of monitor engineers. We want to know which monitor engineers are available for the dates, because it, I don't know what it's like your side of the water, Adam, but over here it's a massive bum fight to get anyone for any dates at all. And
I heard there's bus issues over there too, and driver issues, and it's every level of everything.
Everything issues. It's crazy. It's getting done, but it's crazy. So what we've built is a private verified network of professional freelance crew. So you can come on as somebody looking for a crew by just telling us who you are and sharing some details about yourself, so we know you're, you know, right for sort of coming onto the network.
Just a little bit of vetting to make sure they have the good intentions, you know.
Absolutely. On the crew side, what you do is you go through a registration process with us. So it's about a 5-minute sort of synopsis of who you are, who you've worked with, what experience you've got, followed by supplying us with 3 references so that we can reach out to 3 people and who can vouch for you and say, work with them, you know, and maybe give them a sentence or two as to how brilliant they are. So it's private, and we're trying to keep it quite private, because the information that obviously we have on people is personal. You know, we're talking phone numbers, we're talking the artists they've worked with, we're talking, you know, their day rate. You know, this is all information that needs to be protected. So we're creating quite a private environment for people to come in and to kind of communicate, connect. Anything that I'm missing there, Joel?
No, you've nailed it. And that's what it is. It's bringing it into a very manageable, cohesive environment that's easy to access. It's true. It's honest. You know, it's quite a lot of trust that's involved with this because it's a new thing. People can be quite cynical about change, you know, but we're trying to reassure people. In fact, we've probably sat down, Adam, and spoken to as many people either over email or in person as we are doing now over Zoom or what have you, just to reassure people, to put our arm around people and say, look, we know the shit you've been through over the last sort of couple of years. We've seen it. We're part of it. Come and join us in this. Come and have a look. You know, and there is a reassurance that we have had to provide people. And once people have listened to us and they've understood, it's like, oh, right, I really get that now. We're getting these flurries of people absolutely using it now, seeing results. And that's the best thing that we can hope for, really.
And I'm sure once you get people on there and using it, it's going to grow and become better. And I'm happy to, you know, my initial thoughts, and I mean this in no offense, I was like, well, why them? Like, why do they make it? And like you said, it's like anybody could make this, but it takes the right people that to trust. Not anybody, like anybody in theory could make it, but not successfully. And I think it's great that you guys come from the industry, you understand it, and you did the proper R&D to kind of research, like, what do we include? What do we not include? Now, what you included, we've kind of gone over briefly. You know, you've got the trust, you've got the privacy, but I was wondering, I'm really interested, what were the intentional things when you were talking to these hundreds of people that you omitted from the website or strayed away from that you didn't want to have on here? If that a fair question? I don't know if there is anything.
Sorry, so what was the question around? Are there things that we don't have now that we wanted originally that we've been kind of talked out of, or was it the reverse of that?
Yeah, like what were people like, don't do this. This will, like, because what you did do is evident, right? We're going to experience it and talk about what's in it. But I was wondering, like, what did you specifically stray away from and then maybe why? So an example could be like, we didn't make it public, obviously, because we don't want people to know everybody's day, right? That's a really basic one. But is there anything else? I'm just interested.
Do you know the one thing, Adam, that we absolutely never, ever, ever wanted to do, which other similar base sites would do or have done, was charge the crew. We never wanted to take any money off people. So we had to develop a mechanism that meant that we could monetize the Entourage Pro platform, but not take any money off the bottom line, not take money out of crew, respect. You know, 5% off the crew that had nothing for over two years now in many cases. And that was vital. Everything else, you know, we'd people were like, I don't want to give my mobile number. I don't want to give my hometown address. I don't want to give this. But once we explained that this was all discreet, it was all in compliant with GDPR. It was complete privacy led because we've had to be. And believe me, if you looked at the money we've spent on lawyers to make sure that we are compliant for GDPR.
What's GDPR? I'm from America. Help me out. What is that?
It's the process of not sharing information, basically. Yeah. So if you're an online operation, you just can't. I mean, you know, we look at what we do and we're really tight, but we look at other companies and the stuff they take from me. Even if I buy a mohair jumper from Marks and Spencer, they know my mobile number and my email address and something else.
And the route you took home and what.
Exactly. They know where I'm parked.
It's also the protection of that data as well, which they're, you know, over this side of the pond where they have the very, very strict laws about. It's mainly based for big business, you know, it's to slap big fines on big businesses that aren't cautious and careful with, you know, personally identifiable data, basically, which obviously we have a lot of. But another thing that might be worth just adding there while we're talking about privacy is, and we can show you this later when we get on to sort of demo the site with you, but not only do you have the protection of us kind of vetting who comes onto the site, you can then choose very specifically sort of three different layers of privacy. So you can have some things that are accessible to everybody that's a member, or you can hide things behind a connection request, or you can keep them completely private at all. So, you know, for your day rate, for example, you might want anyone to see that, whether you connect with them or not. So you can just keep that completely private. But we do allow the search mechanism of the site still to put you up into the results if the criteria matches the day rate that you sort of go out for. So, you know, there's lots of sort of different layers that we've built in because, you know, going back to the question you just had, some of the biggest kickback we have has been around privacy. And, you know, we have to make sure we've built the site completely with that in mind. I think we've done that, and we seem to have, convinced a lot of people that what we're doing is very protective of their data. So,
We're sensitive to people. To people's bloody
confidentiality.
Well, the confidentiality, but sensitive to the fact that, you know, these are a very, very highly skilled set of people. Now, part of the reason why EP exists is because we know that these women and these men that go out on the road are so good at what they do, but equally, they're not necessarily the best at selling themselves. So we've got to sort of take that skill set. We've got to take those profiles. We've got to push them out to different parts of the industry that they may never have considered in the past, given that we're trying to change a little bit how the traditional methods work, or at least augment them. So, you know, we've got to be sensitive to the fact that we're doing this on their behalf. We know that it's hard to get work at the minute. We know that their crews are acidly depleted. So we've got to be sensitive to their confidentiality, be sensitive to the fact that, you know, we don't want to just gratuitously farm this out to everyone willy-nilly. We want to make sure it's going to the right people and people get benefit from it by getting employed. It's as simple as that.
That makes sense. I'm taking it all in and also at the same time trying to figure out how to navigate and where we go next logistically. Because it's cool. It's like, it's really nice to have people come in and kind of update the industry. And I don't know about you, but there were things in the past that kind of graced this world, right? Whether it be a Facebook group or a group on, you know, some other site, but there was never anything formal to my knowledge. that people could get hired through. And I was wondering what types of people can get hired on here, and then who's doing the hiring? Like, I don't know. How does that kind of, does that make sense to slot in now, or do you want to do that on the walkthrough? Like, what do you think?
You could take that, James.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, in fact, I might just flick open and share my screen if that's all right.
Yeah, go for it.
We, as part of our R&D over the 2 years, as we've already discussed, we went out to find a kind of definitive list of all of the freelance roles in the industry. And okay. We've broken those down into kind of 15 sort of different subsectors of the industry, you know, whether that's audio, lighting, staging, rigging, you know, or whatever those might be. And I think the latest count that we're on now is about 150 roles across the freelance community, which surprised us. I mean, we knew that there were a lot, but that, I think that surprised us initially. You know, whether that's looking at you know, people sort of specifically within servicing the artists, or whether that's audio production, whether that's backline or catering, event logistics, health and safety. You've got your lasers and special effects, lighting, your loading, your loadout crew, merchandise, performers, production coordination, rigging, staging, set design, transport. I mean, the list just kind of goes on. And that's not even sort of touching individually on all of the roles that sit within those sections. So
I was actually super impressed when I went to the site. I was like, this is great. This is like a gold mine. I've never seen all these. And I literally ripped every single one of them and put them in a spreadsheet and labeled them. So I was like, I just need this. So I've got like the spreadsheet in front of me, but I put it all organized. And I was like, this is very cool. And I know there's some differences when you go to UK and US with a few things, but most of all of it, I was like, wow, this is awesome.
So we're adding every couple of weeks where, you know, we'll have somebody that will email us and say, hey, how have you forgotten about us? And you know, we'll then get those added.
But that's awesome.
It's hard work because, and again, we can show you this when we go through the registration process, but the registration process is completely bespoke to every single role in the industry. So yeah. The questioning goes very much in line with the role that you have. And we obviously talk about some of the sort of the technical training or technical preference you have. And that's all very, very bespoke to every role. So it's been, that's probably taken me most of the two years, to be honest with you, just to sort of construct all of that. That's been, it's been an interesting learning curve actually for me, because I think my involvement in the industry has been slightly different to Joel's. I've come from more of a media sort of publishing background, and most of my client base and most of the part of the industry I've been involved with is the suppliers, and it's uh-huh. the busing companies, it's your backline guys, it's your rental houses. That's been kind of my world, and I never really stepped over into kind of the freelance side. So yeah, for me it's been a real eye-opener.
That's awesome. Yeah, and go, Joel.
Sorry, just to jump in. James is the absolute data god on this, you know. It completely goes over my head. He loves numbers, he loves spreadsheets, Excel docs, whereas I like I just like speaking to people.
I like both those things, but I'm probably about 50% worse at each of them, so it kind of you know, it balances out. And you got my I try to spread
that,
out a little
mate.
Bit So who's hiring? Like, we know what job you can kind of submit to be, you know, in the pool, in the database, people can come and find you. And I'm sure, James, you're having a field day with all this information. It's probably amazing. But Who are the people that are coming to hire? Like, is it bands? Is it managers? Is it everyone? And what has it already started happening?
We've got a pretty unique thing going here, Adam. James's background obviously showcased music. He's amassed over the years Let's go back to the beginning. So who's hiring? Yeah. You said bands, you said management, rental companies, you know, production companies, festival organizers, all of those people are hiring. So yeah. We encourage all of those people, all of those components of the industry to join Entourage Pro. You join it as a member. You have to be vetted like the rest of, you know, our network. But all of those people essentially have access to Entourage Pro. They are the people that bring in freelance crew. Okay, that's the top and bottom of it. When James and I first started speaking, James had this love. It was like winning the jackpot for me. It was like winning the lottery. James said to me, Joel, I've got over 350,000 artists and artist management, record labels, record companies,
That's too many.
That's too many. I've got this data. So obviously I was, my mouth began watering here and I was like, right, well, this is the first change that we bring to the industry. Yeah. Because if we've lost these production managers, there's going to be a point where, you know what, record companies, let's take record labels for a start. Every single one of them nowadays has a tour department and mm-hmm. they've taken a kid out of accounts and said, right, you go and deal with the touring division. You go and deal with the bands going out on the road. Here's a few grand. We're going to throw that behind this particular artist. You get them out on the road. It's not like that for everyone, but there is yeah. this new sort of way of getting people out the door, as it were. So what we figured was, you know what? Entourage has got access to these people. So given you can search on any criteria for your, you know, if it's a production manager, if it's a video designer, if it's a lighting designer, if it's a sound designer or the front of house or monitor engineer, and this new band that Sony have decided to throw some money at, say, right, well, we love Hot Chip. I'm trying to think mm-hmm. of an American band that's current at the minute. So who did you say you worked with before?
American band that's current at the moment. AJR, the Lumineers.
All right, the Lumineers. So if there you, we go. You know, if you like the Lumineers and your new band from the UK is a big fan of them, you might be able to put into our database who mixed the sound for the Lumineers, and you might be, find that person. You might be able cool. to you can contact them directly, say, listen, we sort of love the show that we saw. We love the lighting design that you did or the video design. Would you come and work with us? Now, we're a new band. We don't have the budget that you've got for your arenas going around the sheds in the States, but would you take a punt on us? And, you know, would you come and sort of help us on our way? That might be a new gig for that front of house person or that line yeah. designer. It's a new way of working. So we tried to put these little mechanisms into play where it might never have worked like that previously. Obviously, yeah. production managers have got lots of experience with the labels. But again, you know, we may have lost 30, 40% of those production managers. So it's just putting little new mechanisms in place that, you know, via using the site, you can utilize. And that's it's a different proposition for people.
Oh, that makes sense. And in the past, we only have word of mouth and we still have it. But the downsides of that are pretty, we've all experienced it. When you need work, you just have to start telling people. When when people want to find you, they have to tell you. But there's no way to put out other than social media, which is fine, but somebody still has to look at it. It's nice to have a defined area that says, hey, I'm looking for work. And you know, it's hard sometimes. You don't want to tell people you're out of work. You don't want to, you know, everybody to know you're looking for work. You just want the people that you want to get hired by to know. So there's a yeah. lot of little intricacies to it that are quite complicated. And it sounds like you solved all of them. I think you did it. I think you did the damn thing.
we think that, you know, it's going to take time for people to embrace this as a yeah. new way. But we do believe that we're slowly but surely defining a new way. I mean, you know, I think we've been speaking to a couple of lighting companies over the last few days, certainly a few audio companies that have lost people. You know, and this is a short notice thing. We've actually been diving into our network and sort of going in manually and finding people at very, very short notice because people need help at the minute.
Yeah.
Once we mature, once we become defined and further defined and embraced by the sector, then, you know, we want people just to use it as an automate. I mean, the front end looks great on Entourage, but it's the back end, the clever stuff that James has developed, which is, it blows my mind. It goes right over my head,
yeah. you know,
but it's the clever mechanics of how the automated stuff behind the sort of, you know, the front end, the back end of it is it works, that makes this pretty special, you know. And I think once people recognize the capacity that they're able to utilize the site for, then that's when it comes into its own, you know. But we've just got to make sure that people begin to embrace it, which they are doing, you know, and that's a great thing. We can't ask for more than that at the minute.
Yeah, I think step one, awareness, we're there. Step two, get them to sign up. And, you know, I know you're saying it's a new thing, which it is. It's a new way to do a thing, but I don't think the concept is unfamiliar. I mean, we've got dating sites, we've got LinkedIn, we've got every internet site ever. So, I mean, the education level of it is just the fact you exist. And once people start logging in, I think it'll be pretty user, you know, intuitive that, hey, this all makes sense. And I think you've covered my biggest concern, and I'm sure most people's biggest concern, is like, well, who are they going to tell? And yeah, I mean, is there anything else you guys want to talk about before we get into actually using the site? And I'm open to anything. Like, there's probably a load of questions I don't even know to ask, and I'm here to learn. So
yeah, well, one of the things that's important to sort of see here, Adam, and you've just touched upon it, the fact that we need to build this. You know, we need to communicate this and market it. James and I are just looking at some investment at the minute, because we've kind of realized that yes, it's operating in the way that we want to operate it, but because of the way that the industry is at the minute, we've worked out that we need to fast track this out. We need to market it for a start. Yeah. That costs an awful lot of money. Pushing that out to North America, to South America, to Europe, you know, to the UK and all the rest of it. We've got to spend a lot of money and a lot of effort pushing the message, pushing the format, and making sure people can embrace it. We can only do that by communicating what this is. So we're in the process of looking at a financial raise at the minute. We're looking at sort of, you know, individuals that know the industry and individuals that get what we're trying to achieve, and those that actually they may have earned a few quid out of it over the years, but now's time to throw something back. They've seen friends selling houses, they've seen this, that, and the other. So if we can get people that get what we're trying to achieve and they embrace the idea and they can help us with that, that's where we want to be, because we need to accelerate growth of this, and we need to do it quickly because of the state of the industry. It's nothing that we're doing wrong. It's just the fact that we need, you know, there's a critical window here where we see people struggling. We see people without the technically specific people that they may have used for the last 10, 15 years or whatever it may be. And we've got to repopulate that. So, you know, there's a number of things that we need to sort of look at, i.e. the next generation. We're aligning with all the colleges and universities in the UK and Europe at the minute. And we want to do that in North America too. So we want to fast track through the next generation of practitioners, you know, people that have studied it, people that recognize that actually this lifestyle choice, life on the road job is where I want to spend my career, where I want to develop my career. I know I'm good enough. How do I get into it? So we're aligning with all the colleges, the universities, those outlets that, you know, make sure that people leave with a degree or a qualification, a certified qualification that be recognized from the industry, and just help, you know, give them access pathways into the industry. That's what Entourage Pro wants to do, wants to achieve. But of course, all that costs money. So we're hoping now that in the next couple of months, we're going to be in a much better position to get this rolled out globally, you know, which is the aim.
That sounds like a lot. I'm like taking it in. I was like, that's a lot. I mean, you're on the right track. So, and it's a great tool. I just had a guest on the podcast that's not out yet, but we're talking about like the entry points of this industry are very much restricted because they're based on social interaction, right? Who knows you? That's how you can get into the industry. But this kind of removes that barrier of entry to a level to where if you're qualified on a school level or a specialist level, you can enter the industry without maybe having to work your way up at a local venue or putting in all the work. And there's obvious downsides of that. Like you won't have such a full spectrum of understanding, but sometimes you don't need that when you get a specialist. So I think that it is good to kind of remove a little bit of that barrier of entry and make the industry more accessible to other people at a much quicker turnaround than, hey, you got to go do this thing for 4 years and then we can accept you. Because like you said, it's kind of a time sensitive thing going on here.
It is. Really, and that's just something that in the last 2 weeks we've literally just hit go live on. So obviously industry newcomers, students, it's been in our minds to work out how we introduce them into the network. So yeah. What we did is we built a bespoke registration. So it's a little bit of a softer questionnaire because it's not about who you've worked with and what experience you've got. It's more about the passion and the training and the exposure that you've had to the industry. So we just launched that now. And it's for anyone that's got 0 years experience up to 3 years experience within the industry. Yeah. You go through this bespoke environment and then you do sit alongside. So again, we'll show you when we get onto the site, but when you're searching, for example, for a front of house engineer, when you get the list of results, the newcomers will sit alongside the pros and they get a little badge. We've got a little Acorn badge that they have to indicate that they are newcomers.
Yeah,
but their face and their profile is being put in the same pool. And that's, you know, that was really, really important to us because it is access pathways. It is trying to fast track. And that kind of sort of segues directly onto an initiative that we're hoping will come pretty soon. And that's the Entourage Pro Learns initiative, where ultimately we want to be paying for, you know, people to go out and shadow professional technicians in the industry. But Joel can probably tell you more about that than I can, because it's very much the initiative that he's been spearheading. But we want to be, you know, actually offering these people the opportunity, but paying them a decent day rate to do it. You know, it's not the magical £50 a day of cash in your back pocket. It's, you know, actually paying them correctly to go out and shadow alongside, you know, people that have been doing this for 20 years plus and really sort of bring them under their wing. So that's, you know, that's kind of another kind of side to Entourage. It's certainly a passion of yours, isn't it, John?
I just think, you know, we've got to act quickly. We've got to be, you know, one of the biggest problems about sort of the next generation is trying to get them to understand that you can get a career in this rock and roll circus. You can, you know, you can go and study, you can go and work with your favorite bands, you can become very quickly sick of your favorite bands overnight, probably. But, you know, the fact that you can get out there, you can go on the road, you can do this as a job, that's probably the biggest challenge that the educators have. You know, if you look at video, people don't understand you can go and work in the live events environment by doing video. You might study it and think you go straight to TV and broadcast. But in fact, you know, there's as much opportunity in live events than there are in all those other sort of sectors. So,
and it's more fun.
Oh, God, yeah. You're outdoors for a start, you know, most of the time. We've sort of got to do this quickly. And I think the other thing is we've recognized that if we speak to production management and we speak to rental companies, that if we can say, look, you swallow the cost for a bunk on the bus and a meal ticket and your per diem, we will pay them a rate that is befitting of their role at that level. Like mm-hmm. James says, it used to be, you know, here's £50 and as many crisps or chips, as you say over there, as you can eat. You know,
I'm bilingual. I know what crisps are.
So as many crisps as you can eat and 50 quid, you know, that's what it'll be for you. But we want to absolutely underpin this, and we want to give them a rate that's befitting of their, you know, the challenge and the role and the skill set and all of those things, providing they can, you know, find them a bunk on the bus. It's as simple as that. We want to be in a position where we're being, you know, looked at as again, it all comes to sort of throwing it back to the, you know, doing something positive for the industry. That's where we want to be.
Hell yeah. I'm all about it. I'm about the cause.
Well, that's it. The next generation are key. We are nothing without the next generation. In fact, you know, we're slowly lurching back to life, but fundamentally, you know, you must know, Adam, how many people are down and out the industry over your side of the pond.
People can hang out now. It's weird. Like, everybody's home, ready to hang out. I'm like, wait, don't you guys supposed to be on tour? What's going on here?
Yeah, rather than seeing someone in catering at some festival eating brown salad.
Oh, man, I do miss that. I haven't toured as much after COVID either myself, you know, but...
That's why you look so young and fresh of face.
Oh, well, thank you. I was not expecting compliments during this hour, but I'll take it. Oh, man. I mean, it's great. I'm happy to hear, like, I really do think that, I know the industry is only 50 years old, but there's definitely a defined lifestyle mentality that's kind of gone out the window. And I think we're all grateful to see it go, whether it be the roadie lifestyle, whatever you want to call it, where it was, maybe you refer to it as like a gentleman's club or something like that. I'm happy that, you know, it's becoming more open, more inclusive. It's about learning and being better and being open to having new people, because I don't know who that's worse for. I don't think it's worse for anybody, at least not anybody I care about. It just sounds awesome.
I think we've reached a point where we recognize that a lot of our industry was sort of learned pretty much seat of the pants. It was pretty much made up as it went along. You know, a lot of people were hobbyists that started the industry. I know some of them, and they're the first to tell you that they didn't know what they were doing. But goodness me, they learned by the end of it what they were doing. And they're all fantastic resources and wealths of, you know, information and knowledge and all of that. And we've spoken to them all, you know, but I think they're the first to recognize that the industry does need to start maturing now. And it and it is doing. And I think this has been the, I think this COVID-19 hell that we've all been through has been the turning point where people have said, you know, we've ridden, you know, the crest of a wave for so long, it came crashing down. And once that sort of tsunami recedes back and we look at the damage, this is where we've got to pick up the pieces. We've got to start rebuilding, hopefully, and fingers crossed and touching wood and all that stuff. But hopefully Entourage Pro is part of that process. You know, that's where we position ourselves.
Oh, I think it's great. Well, hell yeah, is all I got to say. I'm a fan. I'm a supporter. Obviously, I mean, we're here. And I think, I mean, do you want to walk through this? Like, I'm ready if you guys are.
Yeah, cool. So what I'll do then, Adam, is I'll take you through a registration, shall I, just to sort of show you how it all comes together. Is that cool?
Don't forget, James.
Yeah,
don't forget, this is listeners as well as visuals, James. So you're going to have to be very detailed.
Yeah, I'm gonna preface this here with anybody who's listening. If you're not watching, that's fine. I'm not even 100% sure my visuals are going to record, but I'm going to try my best here. With that being said, just follow along. So you're going to go to the website. And there, you're going to click sign up, basically, right? Is that kind of what you're going to do?
Absolutely. So I've skipped a couple of steps here. So we obviously have a website that kind of explains about who we are and what we do, and we'll filter you through to registering your email address with us. We'll ping your quick email just to verify that that is your address. And then you'll see this screen. So this is kind of the fork in the road as to who you are, whether you're somebody looking for crew, which can be anyone pretty much, but we kind of say, you know, artist managers, labels, rental companies, PMs, TMs, production houses. Obviously, there's a load more there. But in terms of if you're a crew member, there are two junctions here. So are you a professional or do you have less than 3 years experience within the industry?
Okay. And that's like kind of the fork in the road to separate people from like, all right, I've been doing this for a while, but I need help. Or, hey, I'm just trying to get in.
Yeah, I mean, I think 3 years is something we discussed a lot. You know, at what point do you draw that line? You know, is it 2 years? Is it 3 years? Is it four? But we felt 3 years worked well, purely around the education side of things, because, you know, 3 years kind of ties in nicely with that. But at the same time, I think 3 years of maybe you doing the role outside of education probably is that point where you're starting to become someone who's pretty adept with what you do. So that's the kind of the fork in the road and the line in the sand that we created.
Yeah, great. That's awesome.
I think it makes sense. What I'll do, Adam, is I'll take you through a professional registration.
Yeah, let's do it. I'm hoping my friends will listen to this episode and sign up. You know, afterwards, I expect a thank you email when tens of thousands of people sign up.
your check's in the post, you know, Adam.
What did I say? Oh, yeah. Thank you. Perfect. CPM, baby.
Ooh. Okay, cool. So this then takes us to what we talked about earlier. It's first choosing your profession.
Yeah.
So we've got the sort of 15 or 16 different sectors of the industry, and within those, all of the roles.
Can we be a photographer? All right. No bias. So it's under artist services, and then the primary role is photographer, and then you have a secondary sector. So like, how's that work?
So a lot of people will have more than one role. Okay. We're actually considering whether that might need to increase to three now, just through feedback. Somebody saying that actually just covering these two roles doesn't cover everything I do in the industry, you know, and we want to make sure that everyone is covered and everyone's got, you know, the chance to be found for the work they do. So
just make it 10 right now, because once you get to three, there's going to be a four and then there's going to be a five.
We're just going to do it slowly, one by one.
I know. Everything all at once.
What I do as well is I'll choose maybe a more technical role as well, because it'll show you some of the sort of questioning that we do. So if I pick, should I do DJ tech? We'll do a DJ tech, shall we?
All right, DJ tech it is.
Cool. So it's the very basic sort of normal information that you would imagine that is needed. We're looking at your name.
Yeah. Name, number, website,
Absolutely.
Experience. This is the very overview basic. And then their answers for those first two pages, do they determine what questions they're fed for the remainder of this? Or is it all pretty much the same? Okay.
This section here, in terms of the general information, is the same, but the more technical based questions are then obviously dictated to by the roles that we've chosen. We've got the ability.
What funk do you prefer?
Absolutely. we've got things like, you know, do you have a preferred gender pronoun? What's your address? Let me just sort of zip through this fairly quickly because this is all kind of quite boring. To years experience. So how many years in the industry have you got? And this was actually funny, a bit of a contentious one to start with. As we spoke to you about earlier, it's what's your day rate? How much do people know? How much do you want to be paid? Which, you know, kind of said on its own can maybe be a little bit jolting for people. Like, hang on a minute, I don't want to share with how much I get paid. Yeah. So what we've actually done here is giving you the ability to put in up to three ranges of rates you'd be willing to work for. So people can't pinpoint you on what you work for. But also, like Joel said earlier, it may be that you normally go out with your, you know, sort of more regular bands at this price point of maybe $500 a day, but you might be willing to consider new upcoming emerging artists that obviously, you know, will not better pay you the same as you get paid with your other bands or artists. So
yeah,
there's kind of a few reasons why we've put those ranges in.
And that's why it's so important to have people that know the industry make this, because if you don't know the industry, we probably wouldn't even be to this point, but it's nice having your peers be like, all right, I know how this works.
Yeah. And even having known the industry. Sorry, you carry on, John.
I'm just saying, you know, I think that's where that obstacle of trust. We do know the industry. We do know people's sensitivities. We do know that we've got to be cautious about all of these things. And this is people's livelihoods here. It's not just us sort of farming out this information, getting, you know, £20,000 back off everyone. It's just not the case. We are sensitive to the issue. We're sensitive to the threat that we've all been under. And fundamentally, we've got to get it right. You know, we need people to trust what we're trying to achieve. So all of these things we have considered. We've not just put it in and we're very aggressively saying, you've got to do this. We've liaised with people. We've conferred, we've confided, we've asked them what their thoughts are out on it. And a lot of the things that once we've explained our rationale behind a decision of inputting some information or whatever it is, they've actually gone, yeah, I get it. I totally, totally get it. And that's been the most rewarding thing, that we've
thought
so deeply about it that they, you know, they understand that we're trying to help them at the end of the day.
You know, and it's very simple. You know, the reason we want you to put your day rate on there is so that people can search for crew based on a budget, based on a day rate budget, because fundamentally, everybody has a budget they're working to, so they need that information. They don't want a long list of everybody they have to then negotiate individually with. They want to know, you know, are there people out there available now that will work for between £300 to £500 a day? You know, that's quite fundamental in the service that we want to offer to the, you know, to the other side of the industry, finding the crew. So,
agree.
Yeah, you know, everyone's got a different opinion, and we've tried to listen to everybody and kind of find that happy medium for everybody so everyone feels comfortable. But as you can imagine, that's not always very easy. It's
nothing's easy. Somebody's always going to be angry.
Coming down to the photographer role, we ask actually, do you have an agent? And to put the details in, obviously a lot of photographers will have an agent. So all of that information will be published alongside your profile to stop you perhaps having to deal directly with the inquiries. We talk about which areas of the live event sector do you currently work in. Be honest, that normally gets clipped as all. Which territories across the world have you worked in? Again, that tends to pretty much get clipped for all with the touring world. Which regions are you open to working at the moment? You know, it may be that you're only looking at UK and Europe at the moment, and you can add that in. Do you work across any other industries? So do you cover any work with esports or sporting events, TV, film, corporate? So this is where my magic bit of data comes into play. So we've got a database that sits behind this that I'm hoping we're going to try and test with you now, Adam. Should better pick up an artist. If you give me an example of an artist, if I start typing it in, it should already be in here for us.
Slipknot.
Is that how we spell it? Because mine is
one word. You had it.
There we go.
All right, we're good. That's all you need, Slipknot. Everything else doesn't matter.
I thought you were going to go for the Lumineers.
So no. We just asked people for the last three artists that they've worked with.
Okay.
That's something that gets published on their profile page. Also is a way of us just testing that you are who you say you are, really. Again, it's part of that kind of verification process. What venue experience do you have? Which three venues or festivals have provided you personally with career highlights? That's been a little bit of a head scratcher for a lot, especially post-pandemic. Like, I can't remember the last venue I was in. It was like over 2.5 years ago. So that's been...
Can I just jump in here, Adam, and say that, you know, even though James has obviously been being very vocal about what he's been, the process of what he's been sort of presenting here, this actual registration takes about 3.5-4 minutes, I think, all in all. So
don't be deterred.
Yeah, I mean, it seems quite protracted here, but actually, it's a doddle and it's a walk in the park, you know.
I think for what three venues you need an option that just says yes. my question is, I wanted to know if, like, is it in, like, how does it work on the back end? So if you say what territories you're interested in working in, UK and Europe, does that then exclude you from search results? Is it in your best interest to say you just want to tour everywhere? Or obviously not if you really don't want to tour anywhere else, but are you in theory locking yourself out of touring opportunities that you might be open to? Is it most people who just say all, do you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. So again, once we get into actually the site and I can show you how the mechanics of the search.
Okay, cool. Work, yeah, let's do it.
It will, obviously if somebody wants to define that they're only looking for somebody in the UK, then if you've only chosen the UK, you'll come up and vice versa if they don't. But it's very much down to personal preference. I mean, again, most people select all, you know, the touring professionals in this world travel the world. So they will tick everything. So there's normally a very specific reason if they only choose UK and Europe, but then it would mean they don't come up and search if someone's looking for someone to go through Africa. So, you know,
criminal. Yeah,
absolutely.
No, that makes sense. And I think it'll be, I feel like we're having another podcast episode in like 2 years where you guys are like, all right, this is what we've done in 2 years now. I feel like that's going to happen because this is cool.
Cool. Thank you. So how many shows a year will you work, just to give us a sense of how active you are in the industry? And this was a question more for us, really, just to try to understand who is providing the majority of the work for crew in certain roles. So who provides you currently with your work?
You just want another column on that spreadsheet.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Exactly that.
I never turn down another column. I know that.
You're getting to know me well, Adam.
Have you ever used Airtable?
No.
You should check it out. Anyway, keep going.
I'm writing it down. Okay, cool. So we now move on to your credentials. So it's to do with things like the languages that you speak.
Okay.
We've got lots of, obviously,
can you skip through this bit, James?
I can describe it. Basically, you're asking things like, what do you speak? What can you do legally? I guess is the best way to say this. Like, do you have COVID vaccine? Do you do first aid? Do you have a valid driver's license? So they just want to know some more details that might, that are going to be hard blocks for certain career paths, basically. Like, okay, you absolutely can't do this tour if you don't speak English. We need English speaking people on this tour. That's important to know early on in the process.
Yes, that is the case, Adam. But obviously, you know, part of the deal with all of this is we don't discriminate at all either, you know, because there has to be a point where it's less about what language you speak and it's less about the fact that, you know, you can't get on a tour if you don't speak that language. We're trying to measure the industry as well. We're trying to pinpoint sort of elements of the industry that has never been measured before, you know. So the, how can I put it? So what... Not the language side, but the proximity, the region that you work in, the regions that you have worked in. This is forming a big, big sort of bigger picture.
Okay, that makes sense.
It's forming a bigger picture as to how the industry operates. And that's more the point for these sort of things at this stage. And, you know, it's about sort of manufacturer training and all the rest of it. You know, if you do speak a certain language, are we doing enough training in that region? You know, do we need to
gotcha.
Do we need to cast our net a bit further? So there's lots of elements with it. It's not quite as black and white as that, but you know, we do hope to build a very sort of detailed measurement of the sector globally. That's the ultimate aim. It's never been done. It's often been spoken about, and now we believe we've got the tools and the resource to be able to do that.
And I hope I did not sound unintentionally with my brash example that I don't want to have non-English speaking people on tour. So maybe I picked a wrong example, but like maybe a better one is like, if you don't have a passport, then it's hard for you to do this international tour. But yeah, all right, fair enough.
Adam,
I'm not a bad guy, I swear.
I've been in the middle of Beijing listening to a French person speak to a Chinese person in better English than I can speak, believe me.
Oh, man, yeah, I believe that.
Yes, right.
That kind of makes me think about how we tried to see how we could bring into the registration whether you've got a criminal record, which, yeah. How do you do that? You know, no one's going to want to give you that, and we shouldn't be asking that anyway. But obviously there's a very big thing about traveling to the US and having a US visa to work. So it's like, well, how do you actually ask that question without actually asking it? And, you know, the way that we formed it is, you know, have you had or do you have or have previously had a US visa? You know, give that a bit to you have, because, you know, it's really interesting. But these things are really, really important, you know, and the language, although maybe not the English example you've given, you know, language.
But you would
do
hope,
you know,
James,
what a jail cell looks like.
Yeah. But the thing is, James, of course, you know, if you have got a record or you're not allowed in the States, you wouldn't be putting the fact that you're willing to travel to North or South America. You know, you'd just be omitting that from your range of regions. You know what I mean? Or you'd hope. Unless they want to smuggle you in on a, you know, in a trunk or a flight case or something, you know.
I've definitely been on a tour where we've gotten to Canada and somebody like didn't disclose that they had a felony charge in the States. And we get to the border and I'm like, you didn't tell them before this moment? Like now on this tour, you got to go back. And it's such a weird concept to me.
And what was the charge that you had, Adam?
Oh, yeah. You got me.
Cool. So sort of going back to the final part of the registration, we now just start to talk about some of the more technical questions about your training, about your preferences for sort of different brands that you might use in your role. I'm not going to go any further than that for now, because otherwise I'll be creating a live account.
So this page we're on now is what everybody sees when they log into the website. Whether you're hiring somebody or your crew, the reality is that everybody hires people that tour. So let's search. Let's do the damn thing. We're going to look for audio production, and the role is front of house engineer.
There we go.
We'll tag team it.
And let's have a little look in the UK. Okay, so this is the search results at the moment for front of house engineers based in the UK. We've got obviously a long list of members here.
Yeah.
We can go in and we can have a look at a profile. In fact, I may well just choose a different one that's perhaps got a bit more information published on it. Let's have a look. So everyone gets basically all of the information that they've answered as part of their registration gets published onto this page, you know, their years' experience, their location, their experience, the artists that they've worked with, the festival and events or highlights they've had in their career, and references. Availability calendar as well. So this is kind of a very bulk standard profile, probably not the best example, because you can add a lot more context to this. You can put in your own biography. You can add context to the artist you've worked with in terms of your role, in terms of maybe the dates and things like that.
Oh, cool. So it gets pretty, pretty granular. Like you can go pretty deep and somebody could learn a lot about your career through this, which is awesome. Like a portfolio for touring.
Absolutely. I mean, even down to photography, you know, if you want to put on some pictures or some videos of some of the gigs that you worked on, it's there as a blank canvas for you to really use to its fullest. And what we've done is we've given you kind of real-time editability on everything on this page. So you come and edit in real time, update things as you go. You get a bespoke dashboard that kind of handles all of that, right down to even telling you how many times people have searched for you and giving you some statistics on the sort of job roles of people that are searching for you and have kind of connected.
Oh, awesome.
Again, I can't go into too much detail on that because I'm not logged in as an administrator at the moment or as a crew member.
Sorry, I was going to say, can we talk about, and maybe you're going to this, I want to talk about the recommendations part. Is that all right? Like, so on the page... So, I mean, most of that was basic profile. The stuff that sticks out to me that maybe is unique specifically to your site is the recommendations. And that's, I mean, that's more or less a digitized version of word of mouth.
Absolutely. So we've tried to make this a verified network. And the only way that you can make it a verified network is to get those references. And it's all done on an automated basis, so we don't actually see any of the sort of the email exchange that happens. So you put in an email address, you put in the name of the person, you put in their role and the event you've worked on. And our system will just ping them a quick email and say, look, can you just confirm that, that Joel Perry has worked with you before and add a couple of sentences as to their involvement on the tour. And that then gets published at the bottom of your profile page here with the name of the person, their role, and what someone's had to say.
Awesome.
That's really, really strong. It's really, really strong. It's been
that's everything.
Yeah, it really is. And this is unlimited. So we ask for three. But you can actually then go in and edit this and add as many as you want. You can add 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
I'm going to get 100. I'm getting it. It's competition. Everything's a competition. I'm getting 100.
You're going to break the system, Adam.
I'm going to improve it. I'm just kidding. Oh, and then lastly, that's another thing that's really unique about this. I mean, aside from all this, it could in theory be like, no offense intended. It could be a MySpace page. It could be a Facebook. It's all information about the person. However, availability is another really big key to this. So am I jumping you ahead in the order you wanted to talk about these things?
Yeah, no, it's cool. So the availability
don't kill me.
Shot at the moment. We're just working on some developments where people will be able to sync their personal calendars directly with their Entourage Pro calendar. Because at the moment it's a manual process. So we're relying heavily on people.
It doesn't sync. Gotcha.
Exactly. And we're relying on people who are quite frankly busy at the moment to keep that up to date. So whilst it's not as up to date as we want it, we've just switched that off whilst we just work on some of the development.
But maybe we can talk about potentially the end goal here is that this calendar will know, it will sync with your calendar, your master tour, whatever. And it will say, hey, I'm on tour these days. I can't be hired unless you pay me 3 times my rate. And that's it. You know, that's kind of, it'll be like a nice way to kind of source out the people that are absolutely busy.
Absolutely.
Okay, cool. That's awesome.
So
it'll come soon.
Absolutely. So what another thing that's just worth showing. So we've done quite a basic search. We've just literally picked front of house engineers based in the UK.
Yeah.
But what we then can do is we can then go into a lot more detail here. So we can start to look at, your country and your town, the artists you've worked with, how experienced you are, your day rate range, your license, your driving license category, your passports, you know, all the information that we've asked for as part of your registration is now forming the, you know, part of the way that people can filter and search and find the people that they need. So if we have a look here, for example, I mean, this is now all live data. So we've got contacts in here for front of house for, you know, all of the people that are scrolling through here. So going back to what Joel mentioned before, if you know you like the sound or you know you want to particularly pick out somebody that you know's worked with an artist, you've got the ability, if we've got that person in the data, for them to be found by the artists they work with, which, you know, again, is a really, really nice addition, we think. And not something
I think that's amazing.
Not something that can be done in any other way at the moment, as far as we're aware. So yeah, quite an interesting kind of part to the search function. So I'm just going to have a little look at Joel's current page on the site and just show you some of the editability and the control that you've got. So you get to see your profile based on who's looking at your profile firstly. So this is obviously your own view of it, which has a lot of administration control where you can add in things like a biography in real time and you can add in some information there. You can edit all of this information going across into a settings page where everything that you've answered previously is all here ready for you to update or to delete or add to in real time.
Nothing's set in stone and everything can be altered in a very visually pleasing way, which I think is key because, you know, some of us are just good at photography and not anything else. And this is pretty dummy proof.
Yeah.
So the next bit here is the privacy settings that we mentioned before. So for example, if you want your phone number to be completely private, you just click private. If you want it to be hidden behind a connection, you just hit connections. And it's a very simple...
What's connections mean?
So a connection is when someone has requested to be connected with you. So very similarly to how LinkedIn works, there's different levels of connection. So members is everybody. Connections is those you've agreed to connect with. And private just means it's just never going to appear on your page.
And for people who are more observant than me, it was clearly defined on half of the page and I still asked the question. So well done. You thought of everything.
So the last part that I just show you is the dashboard. So again, you've got your own on platform messaging system. So all of your connection requests and your conversations will be handled in here. We've got your availability calendar, which can be updated at the moment manually, but will come with a syncing facility to various calendar applications. You've got your statistics here, which will show how many times you've caught the search functions and who's actually been viewing you, which is all quite interesting as a kind of a bit of science.
I love this stuff too, yeah.
Your references can all be managed here, so you can see whether someone's confirmed with you, whether it's pending, whether it's been rejected, and you can add in lots of new information here. And your recent projects, which artists have you worked with, which venue, the festival highlights have you got, and you can add in and move these around and edit these as much as you want to. So full control, you know, and it's been really, really important for us to give that to people, because I think it's really, really important with, you know, how websites should work. And we've tried to make sure that we've done it in a way that makes sense and it is really, you know, sort of user-friendly for everyone.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we don't need to go in depth on everything because you've created it in a way, in my opinion, that does make sense. And somebody who logs in here won't need a guide to walk them through it. It's just nice to know how this information is being used. But, you know, if you get on here and you start using it, I think you're going to be very impressed with the user experience. It's very good.
Fantastic. Well, that's my bow. I'm going to bow out from that one now, Adam. And I'm going to pass it back over to Joel.
Now,
Joel, what's your opinion? How did he do, Joel?
Well, listen, I'll tell you what, Entourage Pro wouldn't be anywhere without James. I mean, we have the contacts between us, but what James has built is nothing short of incredible, you know, and he's a real talent. I'm not saying we're like Lennon and McCartney, but I'm saying that, you know, he's certainly brought something to the party that I could never have done. So I'm
teamwork,
you know,
that's what it's about.
Of course,
the back end of it is incredible.
And to throw back at you, Joel, I don't think there's anyone that you don't know in the industry. And, you know, without that, there's no way we'd even be close to where we are now. It's been, you know, it's been a real match of skills and experience over the last 2 years. And it's been a real pleasure to kind of get this to where it is now and to show people and be proud about what we're trying to do that's, you know, sort of different and positive for the industry. So
how did it feel when you first, you know, put it live on the URL? Did you guys, how did that feel?
I'm not going to say. I mean, you know, it was almost sexual, but that's as far as I'm going to take it. You know? I'm not going any further than that.
And for me, I'm a bit of a perfectionist, so it's never really gone. It's never really to the point where I'm happy with it. So it's just a constant. Yeah, it's a constant development. If anyone's involved, these things will know.
Well, it's a struggle for you, but I'm glad we get to reap the benefits of your struggle. So thank you for pushing through close to perfection.
The thing is with it, you know, the big deal with this and you know, the thing that we've got to not lose sight of is the fact that without our industry, this wouldn't exist. The people in our industry are real unique people. They've all got stories to tell. They're all really interesting characters. And they've been completely and utterly had over recently, mm-hmm. you know. And I think that we've seen that. We've tried to kind of, you know, we tried to sort of take that plight and do something positive. And I think the big thrill for James and myself is the fact that, you know, people like you who have worked at the top of your game touring for as many years as you've done it, the fact that you get it, that's as much as we need, you know, and the fact that you understand it, that's where we see we've achieved with this. And we just want to grow it now. We want to throw it back to the industry. We want the industry to be, you know, valued by it and understand what we're trying to achieve and just embrace it, really. Because the more that people put into this, the more they get out of it. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, I can't see anybody looking at this and being like, nope, don't want it. Not what we need. I think everybody knows that we need it. We need it so bad that Facebook groups are successful. And if you have a thing that makes people use Facebook, you know it's needed. So yeah. I think that it's going to be welcomed with open arms, and I hope that my listeners, new and experienced, take a stab at this and sign up, because I think it's awesome. So thank you guys for doing this.
Oh, you are a diamond, Adam, and you know, thanks for having us on. It's really important that we, you know, we sort of try and get the message across. There's no ego with this. What we're trying to do is just do something brilliant. And without people like you doing these fantastic podcasts, you know, we struggle at the minute. We hope to be in a bit of a different position next year with this. And it's, you know, thanks so much for having us on. It's incredible.
Well, thank you guys. It's nice meeting you guys too. I hope to meet you guys in real life.
Yeah, you will do.
That'd be awesome.
When you're running our American off operation, you know, we'll be all over you, man.
I heard data and spreadsheets, and I already signed up I just submitted a job application. I was like, all right, let's go. But really, if you guys need help with anything, connecting to people, whatever, I know you've got this huge database, but word of mouth or anything you need help with,
I'm always
here to help. So, is there anything you want to add on before we finish this up, or are you good?
Just thank you again. You know, you've been brilliant. It's been lovely to chat to you for an hour or so, and can't wait to do it again.
Hell yeah. And I can tell that it's getting late there because your internet has improved severely. So I'll let you guys get to bed here, and this will be out. Thank you so much for coming on.